We've got a big announcement, girlies.
We're going on tour!
We're going on tour. We're hitting the road, Jack. Woo! So don't you come back no more, no more.
We're bringing our tour, That's Showbiz, all
That's
over
showbiz.
Ireland.
You have to say it like that.
Well, oh, but I That's can't sing.
That's Showbiz.
You have to say it like old-timey American. I'll work on it.
That has to feature in the show.
We're coming to name them.
A city near you. We're going to Cork, Limerick, Galway, Belfast, and Dublin.
Yeah, sorry about the Midlands, but we can't drive and we need to access by train.
We don't really know any of those. Our geography knowledge of that part of Ireland is limited.
But if you want to come see us, go to ticketmaster.ie and get your tickets because they're flying out the door, girls. And our girlies in the UK and Australia, don't worry. Because there's exciting dates coming soon.
Yeah. Keep the eyes peeled. That's
keep
all we'll
the
say
eyes
on that.
And ears or, peeled.
And the ears, because you might hear it on here again.
Do you keep your ears peeled?
Keep the ears clean, I would say.
Anyway,
maybe.
We're waffling.
Anyway, also, link in the episode description on how to get your tickets.
Exactly. See you then.
See you, girlies. I'm so excited.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, you know when they say that gonorrhea is spreading everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, it actually spread from my balls to my asshole. So they're
really?
Right. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
We're here to educate.
I'm too gullible.
It's your favourite queers back in your ears. It's I'm Grandmam.
Hey girlies, I'm Kevin.
And I'm PJ.
And welcome back to
I'm Grandmam.
Now is my voice all over the place.
That your voice is what sandpaper would sound like if it could speak. It's very rough today, baby.
Are you just saying rough today or rough always?
No, you're giving me like a rustic singer today.
Is it kind of hot?
Have you been on the vape?
I haven't.
Have you been robbing your man's vape?
It's because I was here with you last night and...
You wouldn't shut up.
God forbid you would just watch something, but I have to engage with you the whole time. Otherwise, you just lose interest.
How is it my fault all of a sudden?
Because you were asking me questions, doll.
God forbid I'm interested in my best friend's fucking life.
I know, but we were watching a movie. Just let me watch the movie. Anyway.
Anyway.
A very important movie we were watching, but we'll get into that later. We have two very special guests in the room with us.
So we're just going to jump straight into the theme and get this going. So the theme for this week is... World AIDS Day.
Alexa, play I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. We had to give you a bop.
Yeah.
Now, also, feel free to get up and lip sync, Veda.
No, we're not paying her.
You have to work.
I'll sing live if you're not careful.
Oh.
Babe, we've been listening to all your songs.
Bops. Also, I lived for the music video.
Oh, thank
so
you.
Nice. We'll get into that.
Thank you.
Just enjoy Gloria.
Oh, sorry, I'll enjoy her. Shut up and leave
Thinking
her sing.
How you did me wrong, but I go strong.
Shut up and leave her singing Kevin Ages. Belts into a solo.
Also, just an anthem for the queer community in general,
oh,
right?
I love her. Yeah, it's so good.
Look upon your face.
I think
face.
We're done with her, are we? We'll pick her up later.
It's always a bit more awkward when we have guests. Usually we'd kind of relax into it. But when we're just looking at you, like...
Alexa!
Alexa! Stop. We had Anne Doyle on there a few weeks back, and we were playing Diva by Beyonce. And Anne Doyle was sat on the couch beside us, and I was just like... I'm not a diva.
Kevin was just dancing and we were just staring at him being like...
She was all up for the laugh, but it's so funny for the song. She was just like this.
How much of an icon is Anne Doyle?
Oh,
can we just give her 2 minutes?
Her.
Like, wow.
I love her so
obviously
much.
Obviously delighted to have you on, but we peaked at Anne Doyle. Sorry.
100%.
Sorry, girls.
Don't
we
apologize.
Need to backtrack and give the listeners a bit of context.
Okay.
So, the theme for this week is World AIDS Day.
World AIDS Day.
We're doing our first Pod crossover.
It's a collab, girls.
It's a collab. Sure. We are collabing with Paz Vibe. We have Robbie Lawler and Vade Lady. Welcome.
Welcome.
Time,
Grandma.
Thank you. Finally, thank you. We're here. Do you know what? I have been the biggest fan of you since you began. I've been a Patreon of you too.
You just honestly said, yeah, before we started.
I know. Well, I stopped now the last few months because I'm poor. I'm finishing my PhD.
And you got
so
sick of us.
Yeah.
GoFundMe and bio.
Yeah, exactly. I need one at this stage. But yeah, it's just my love for you has grown and grown. So now the fact that I was here and I heard the table. And then I heard, hey Alexa, I was just like, my mind
saw
is blown.
Cats. Saw the cats, exactly.
And they say you shouldn't meet your heroes, and yet here you are meeting me.
Yeah.
Can I say I have a small confession? Before we ever started the podcast, I was already aware of yourself, Robbie, as a young queer person growing up in Cork when you were Mr. Ireland. And I remember being a small bit obsessed.
Oh.
Just to put it out there. Now, as I've grown up, I've grown out of the obsession completely.
Oh, okay. Well, I've grown out of the
I
Patreon.
Swear. Brilliant. And obviously, I mean, Vada, who isn't obsessed with Vada in
come
Ireland?
On. The icon, the legend, the moment.
So,
gee, guys.
We love, that's how you win us over, it's just by compliments.
Literally.
That's the way we win all our guests over.
The first time I ever had a proper conversation with Vada, actually, is when you were gifting me your boots.
Oh, yeah, the boots.
Tell us about the boots, Vada.
The iconic Vada Lady boots in my bedroom, and I love them so much.
They originated at Flip in, you know, in Dame Street.
Yeah.
With Uncle Rocky, Mother DJ, mm-hmm. who found them in a bag of crap.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. And gave them to me, and they're too big for me.
Okay.
After PJ worn them, he stretched
well,
them.
No.
They were too big for my feet when I got them originally. After PJ wore them, they were too big for both of my legs.
Oh, no.
No. I told you that was crazy.
No, let me give some context, right? I am a size 11 foot, right? Try and find a size 11 heel in Ireland. You just can't, right?
Big feet, big
socks. And then he goes, Vada will know. So I messaged you and you kindly gifted them, but I was never so embarrassed when I gave them back and you goes, oh no, you can keep them. You stretched them out. You
go, I put them on.
You stretched them up, baby.
They're thigh highs and I pulled them up to my thigh and they just fell right back down to my calf.
No.
That is like, so okay. Funny. That is so funny.
No.
But babe, you were wearing them out in the streets and everything. You were wearing them going around Kilmaine. I'm shooting a video with Doug.
Yeah.
It made me so proud.
Oh, thank you.
So
oh. Can we say I'm like your drag daughter, kind of?
Absolutely. Okay. Look at the
oh
height
my God.
Of it.
Yeah, well, if we're going to come up. Thank you, mother.
We're going to have to come up with the drag name. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's my name?
Well, if you're part of, would it be the House of Lady or the House of Vada?
Oh, I'm absolutely open to whatever you would like your name to
okay.
be.
What do you feel, baby? What about Vada Lady, Vada Boots?
Vada Boots, I'll
because
be Vada
we
Boots.
Actually call the boots Vada
we call
Boots.
Them Vada Boots. Sometimes when I'm thinking of a look, I'm like, will I whip out the Vada Boots? You know what I mean? So I'm obsessed.
You definitely have been getting a lot of fun out of them.
You're dragging me. But they're the only boots I have.
Well, they were the only boots I had in lockdown. And funnily enough, Babs, Daly and I did a photo project during lockdown called HIVIP, which was at the beginnings of our whole HIV activism thing. And the boots feature in loads of those photos. I should send them to you.
You need to.
They're officially iconic boots.
They
between
are
you
iconic
and
boots.
I.
They're iconic boots.
They're iconic.
Were iconic boots.
I think when we're them. Going through your archive, we'll put them in a museum. So I'll wear them for now and then we'll put them in a museum.
Actually, you know isn't there like the Queer Archive of Ireland that we could maybe.
Yeah, it's under my stairs.
Yeah.
You have to move the Hoover to get into the Queer Archive of Ireland,
drinks,
but it's there.
And James.
I'm dead. Anyway, a huge congratulations is in order because your documentary, How to Tell a Secret, is now on Netflix.
Woo-hoo!
That's insane.
So when is this coming out? So it will be streaming in Netflix in Ireland and UK from the 1st of December. I think it'll be out by the time this comes out.
Yeah, that's huge.
What a fucking moment.
I know.
That's
that
so major.
Mad. How did it feel like when they told you when it was coming out?
Well, Vada sent a screenshot of, do you know what's coming next on Netflix?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
All you'd see is a picture of their posters, the movie posters on it. But we didn't know that the producers, Lati, who you got the movie from, they were doing it all behind the scenes.
Okay.
But the problem was Netflix put an embargo on it. So Anna and Zlatar, the producers and director, weren't allowed to tell anyone, but yet they put it up anyways. So Vada got a screenshot from a friend and Vada put it up on Instagram. And they were like, oh, like they weren't supposed to do this.
And they told us not
to tell anyone. And yet they put it up anyways.
irony of it being called How to Tell a Secret.
I know, exactly.
And I am the Vada virus. You think HIV has got a legacy. You know, I just don't miss a trick when it comes to How to Tell a Secret or anything to do with our activism.
Yeah.
And I did officially jump the gun. But how did we feel? What's blowing my mind is how people react.
Yeah,
because we've had like film festivals and the RT thing and some cinema releases and for
a lot
me
of cinema
it was
releases.
Like, yeah, it was great, but it was just the next thing. But then you go in the George and you tell these bitches in the dressing room who would not congratulate you on triplets that you're on Netflix, and all of a sudden they're like,
brilliant.
Like, it's something about saying Netflix.
It does seem major.
Yeah,
it's a brand. It's a thing.
You're a household name.
It's gorge.
Absolutely.
It's I love it.
We actually, as mentioned, we got our hands on the movie and we watched it last night. We had a little movie night with PJ's projector.
No, we were bawling and crying.
Bawling and crying.
So lovely.
I mean, a fabulous film in general, but so many moments. And I think that's one thing as well that we learned from listening to episodes of PozVibe as well is the storytelling involved in like what you're doing and what Sean's doing and Anna and what you created. It would probably be a good point, they would like to talk us through your story, your journey with HIV, if you wanted to give us a bit of an insight.
I'm actually going to go first because Robbie just gave two talks in schools of
and
the road.
Also, the activism never sleeps.
Tell me to piss off as well if you'd like. I know what happens. No, I'm just saying for the listeners.
No, we'll tell him. I'll just have a little nap here.
Well, I guess my story starts in my... just before my teens started. Mm-hmm. When I was 12 years old, Rock Hudson, who was a very famous Hollywood movie actor, was outed and was really vilified in the press at that time. And I was a big fan of all of those sort of movies, all of the Liz Taylor's, Doris Day's, whatever, because I was bullied a lot in school. So it was my place, you know, in the afternoon when everyone's out kicking the ball, I'd be watching the matinee at home.
Love.
So the first time I really got to hear anybody talk about AIDS, it was in a very negative way, in a very shocking way, and about someone that I felt attached to, that I loved, you know? So that's where it started for me. And then it only got worse because, as you know, the way that people living with HIV AIDS were treated in the 80s by governments, by medical institutions, by loved ones, families, it's really horrific and shocking. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stories that you hear of how things were then.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So when it came to that subject, I had a lot of trauma and a lot of fear about it. And even though I lived a very full, very queer life with a lot of friends who were living with HIV, and I was working with the alternative Miss Ireland, in fact, working with HIV AIDS organizations, I still never really did the work to unpick how I really felt about it.
Yeah,
I understand.
And I didn't understand as well the impact it was having on me and my sex life and my joy as a queer person, because it was just the norm for me. Mm-hmm. Puberty and AIDS arrived at the same time for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't become HIV positive till I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I would love to say that I handled it well, but I didn't.
Okay.
I made a classic mistake, you know, of throwing myself into a HIV closet and not telling anybody what I was going through and trying to be that very strong martyr person who doesn't make problems for anyone else and can handle everything for themselves.
Yeah.
And really because of the shame and stigma that I felt, but mostly because of what I believed other people would feel about me.
Okay.
You know, and that wasn't based on nothing. That was based on a lot of experience.
Yeah. And especially when the media is doing so much fear mongering as well, you're bound to feel that way.
Yeah. And also, sadly, you know, I had friends living with HIV and I knew how people spoke about them. You know? So then when I was in the HIV closet, I was listening to all of that stuff still in places at times where people didn't realize they were talking about me.
Yeah,
you know?
So dumb,
you could always be talking to someone who's living with HIV and not know it, you know? And, you know, that is not all on them. I always like to say and make it clear that stigma wasn't created by these individuals.
Exactly.
That was created by society. And a lot of them, people my generation, just grew up like I did. So all of that was indoctrinated into you.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
So I spent a few years struggling with the whole diagnosis before I met and fell in love with my now husband.
Woo!
That was like the first time that I told someone on a date.
Okay.
And over 10 years, I had told maybe about 10 people. So, you know, it was...
but that's
this was
huge.
About 5 or 6 years in. So he was maybe my 5th or 6th person to tell. And I really had a very strong feeling for him before we got together.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm going to take... the chance, and I'm just going to put it on the table.
Yeah.
And
what day was this? What number of days?
We were in Romano's restaurant on Capel Street, a couple of doors up from Panty Bar.
With candles lighting, a bottle of red.
I think it was a... It was a Thursday night.
Okay.
Because it had been a Wednesday night beforehand. Okay. he had come to my show. And I told him that I was HIV positive. And he said, I know, I kind of guessed you were going to say that. Oh. And I said, oh, really?
Yeah. Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah. And he said, well, you were positive you wanted to go to Romano's, and you were positive you wanted pizza, and you were using the word an awful lot over the last couple of days.
It must have been playing on your head.
You're gearing him up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Subliminal messaging.
Oh, my God.
But my husband is a lot younger than me. In fact, my mother-in-law is a lot younger than me. So he was more up on things like you equals you, and totally understood about, you know, that the situation, and that I was on medication, mm-hmm. and that I wasn't able to pass the virus on to anyone else. And also young people or younger people didn't grow up with nearly the same amount of stigma around HIV AIDS. Mm-hmm. So he was just totally cool about it. And that was the beginning, I think, of me coming out more publicly. That was when that thing started to change, when how I felt about it started to change.
I guess so liberating.
Yeah, I just needed the support, and then I think I just need a little bit of time to process it.
Yeah, of course.
And then I guess what happened was I just became so aware that I was protecting stigma.
Yeah,
I wasn't protecting myself or the people that I loved anymore. Mm-hmm. I was just protecting the stigma itself.
It's so hard though, because like, it all falls on you then, and you almost become like this like accidental activist then, because you're like, when you're speaking out about this, you
I thought you said accidental laxative, and I was really excited. That's exactly what I'm like.
Accidental laxative.
Drinking another cup of tea.
But you know what I mean though? Like, as in like, you then have to be like, talk to people, and you have to like learn how to deal with the responses that people say to you. It's a lot to carry, basically.
It's a process. I started off with a song. I thought, you know, just being...
That was the campus thing ever, by the way.
Being a big weirdo, I thought, right, I'm going to do... I wanted to come out as much as I could, as far as I could, to as many people as I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A, for the ease, just to get it over with.
Of course.
Yeah. But B, because I knew I was in a position to do something different with coming out.
Yeah.
That the more people understood the struggle and why I was doing it, mm-hmm. the better. And I'm a drag queen, a performer, so...
Yeah. She's a performer, girl.
Iconic.
It felt natural to me to do it like that. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever did, funnily enough, and one of the greatest things.
Amazing. I love that when you dropped the music video, you just left the country.
Yeah.
That was also camp.
Yeah, that's that was so camp. And so
next
iconic.
Next level glamour. Yeah.
I'm doing a little holiday. You just need to process this and I'll be back.
HIV Vienna.
Yeah. HIV Vienna.
Yeah.
We love the HIV. We've been saying HIV VIPs for the last 2 days.
HIV VIPs is my favorite
and prepping
thing
your step as well. We haven't stopped saying it.
Are you appropriate in our culture? Yeah.
DJ is not me.
I'm pause mam all the time.
We found the name of the ep. Thank God.
I'm pause mam's name of the ep. I love this.
One thing that you actually mentioned, Veda, was that coming out about your status actually helped to facilitate you coming out in other ways as well, which I thought was so profound. Do you want to talk with us?
Sure. I think it's still going on. One of the things I realized through my journey with HIV was that coming out is just something that you do constantly all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not this one big event in your life or this thing that you do 3 or 4 times about big things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's actually just those things that you learn about yourself on the journey, and then you feel comfortable enough to say them. I love how the language of coming out has become so popular now, where people talk about maybe ADHD or being on the spectrum, or people understand what it is like to share that vulnerability. Yeah. So I guess one of the things that I processed through coming out about HIV was coming out to myself about being trans and being non-binary, because when I was growing up around trans girls, there was always this difference between me and them. I have a lot of trans friends, and a lot of trans women come from the drag tradition, or even trans men too, actually. But I always felt that separation, because as somebody who doesn't feel dysmorphia, didn't really feel like my journey was going to involve a transition. Mm-hmm. I always felt like there's an umbrella and I'm just outside it in the rain.
Okay.
That's after breaking my fucking heart.
Literally.
Jesus Christ.
But it's like I deal with the aspects of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I deal with a lot of the discrimination. Mm-hmm. Not as bad, but still a lot. I think as camp gay men or feminine gay men, we just get the worst of that. But I'm not embraced really by the community. And this is what I'm talking about before we had language to really express, it. And then the language came along, but still I hadn't reconciled that for me, which I think happens for a lot of people. I have friends who were promoting the MX, Mix. Vivian Bond is a good friend of mine, and she was promoting the Mix as instead of Miss or Mister.
Yeah.
And Peppermint and I are really close, and my friend,
Peppermint.
I adore her.
One of my favorite lip syncs of all time is Peppermint.
And I'm just
doing
like,
music by Madonna.
Oh, the shotgun.
Watch it on repeat.
The shotgun.
Yeah, the shotgun.
When
like
I'm hungover, I watch that lip sync and
she
it cures
it.
Me.
She cures that
Peppermint,
hangover.
If you're listening, I fucking adore you.
Oh, me too. And I'm another name drop them. My other friend is Our Lady J, who one of the writers, co-producers of Pose on Netflix.
Oh, amazing.
And these are my girls. They're just some of my girls. And I've been around these amazing trans women and knowing all about being trans and still not allowing myself to say I'm trans.
Yeah.
Even though we talk to each other as girls, we relate all the same way. Mm. They never would make me feel other.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a mix of people too, where some would be more trans women, some would consider themselves more non-binary. Mm-hmm. But I guess the upshot is there wasn't any of that language for me when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Even. And to find it and embrace it, I think, took me coming out about my HIV status first to really get comfortable with myself. Because I think what had happened I had shut myself down to hide this secret and it had hidden so many other things about me as well. You know?
Yeah.
And I do regret it. I don't ever give interviews and say, you know, now it worked out fine or, you know, it all came good in the end. And now I'm an amazing activist and I've done all these great things. I don't feel that way. I regret it. I regret it. And I don't want other people to make those mistakes. Yeah. And that really fuels me in what I do, especially with HIV. I'm not here to force people out of the closet, but I just want them to understand that they don't need to go in at all.
Exactly. And also, you know, I think what you're saying is so important as well, is that you're giving them the language to be able to speak about it. So I do think people struggle, like they don't know how to say what they're feeling, or they don't know what terms to use, or they're afraid of using the wrong term. So like giving people the language, and what you do on Pause Vibe is brilliant, because they can just pop it in, listen to it, and then feel more empowered to do stuff like that, you know.
What you just said there is so true. Like, all the conversation is so nuanced as well. It's not as black as white as it maybe once was.
Yeah.
And you're thinking that you're fitting outside the umbrella and that you're not part of it. Like, only from listening to other people's stories and hearing other people's takes, that's how we can learn from each other, and that's how we can learn more about ourselves. I presume like that's the way it came about.
Mm.
One thing that we saw in the documentary, Robbie, and we were in bits afterwards.
Yeah.
I wasn't
ready for it.
Sure,
it
if we were
going
to be able
nowhere.
To continue watching the rest of the film, but there's a really lovely moment, and this isn't spoiling it anyway, and we really implore you to watch it when it comes out on Netflix, because it's just, I'm going to be watching it again. It's
it
one of those documentaries that I will end up watching again.
Yeah.
There's this moment where you're speaking with your mother at the dining table over a cup of tea.
And you know us, we love our mammies.
We all love our mammies.
We all love our mammies.
And you had such a lovely conversation with her when you first found out about your status. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yes, so shout out to Mary, my mom, but also Millie Vader's mom. We all love them.
Miriam and Millie.
Miriam and Millie, I know.
I love it.
On the Pause Vibe podcast, we always get people to give their moms or dads shout outs. You know, just really supportive families, but we have a bias towards moms, of course.
Yeah,
so
same.
This is the perfect podcast. So when I was first diagnosed at the age of 21, it was a double whammy, okay?
Yeah.
Because the very first question I asked after my diagnosis was, can I go to Australia? Because that's all I planned for.
Yeah.
And I was told I can't get a residency visa to Australia because I live with HIV. And I went to college for 4 years because I wanted to work with animals over in Australia. It's all I ever wanted to do since I was young. So I cried and cried and cried. And then my next question was, well, how long do I have left to live? Because I didn't know, no one knows the difference between HIV. There are very few people, especially of my generation. This was back in 2012. I was 21. I didn't know HIV existed in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk about HIV. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, once I was told, you know, there's great medication out there, you can live a long and healthy life, they were like, do you want to see a social worker? So I went into the social worker, crying. And she said, do you want to bring in any friends or family? And I was like, can you bring in my mom, please?
Aww.
Australia because my mom's like my best mate. I didn't think that she'd feel shame or stigma.
Yeah.
I just knew she'd kill me if I didn't tell her straight away.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
also, I needed a lift home. Guys, don't drive.
Yeah. I can relate. Yeah. Yeah. But we do have Veda here.
We have one driver at
one
the table.
Designated
my
driver
manager.
At the table
my before. Manager. Yeah. So my mom came in literally seconds. Mothers are superheroes, right? I don't know. She came straight from work. And I remember she came straight in the door. The social worker didn't tell her over the phone. And I was in the corner crying. I was like, mom, I can't go to Australia anymore. Because only she really knew how hard that was
and
for me.
And then what she wanted. Yeah, yeah.
And then the social worker was like, look, Mary, your son just got a HIV diagnosis. And then she looked at me and she went really, really pale. Now, my mum's brown, right? So when she lost colour, you noticed.
Yeah.
And she was like, is he going to be like Freddie Mercury? Isn't that crazy? That was the first thing.
But that's all they knew.
That's all her reference point. Exactly. I didn't know the difference between HIV and AIDS because no one was talking about it in Ireland.
I was even saying my mum wouldn't know the difference, you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah. So my mum just wanted to know my health was going to be okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she got to talk to I got about the medication being so good that you can live as long as anyone else. And eventually we learned down the line that you can't pass on HIV, the risk is zero, right? Mm. But on the way home, I'm not spoiling too much, but I remember looking at my mom, and it's almost like when you get HIV, it's almost like a punishment, especially when it was such a shock. Mm. I remember looking at my mom, I was like, mom, no one's ever going to want to like love me or want to touch me again. And my mom, without even thinking about it, she was like, well, I love you.
Oh, sorry.
And you know what? Just having that support from the very beginning was just the most important thing. And the thing about my mom is, like, I can't tell her anything. Like, she can't hold piss to herself. So I knew once I told her, she got onto Anne Dyle. She was like,
I was on route to tears again just reliving that. And then you said that.
She got onto Anne Dyle and goes, did you throw that up in the news there? Yeah.
She may as well have, because I went upstairs, had a little nap. Like, you know, I was like, emotionally exhausted. Yeah. Came down, my whole family is like a family meeting. She told them all, got them all there, and they were like, every single one of my friends and family didn't give a crap. You just wanted to make sure that I was okay. And that's the way you should be.
Exactly.
But my mom still to this day is amazing. When we got the news about the Netflix show, after Vedas, we were doing a bit of back and forth. The first person I called was my mom. I was like, mom, we're going to be on Netflix. Aww. And she was like, oh my God. She tells everyone in work to watch it. She told everyone to go to the cinema releases. She's just so proud. I was on the Late Late Show. She wanted to be there.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing in the activism that she didn't say, do it. And do it 100%. Yeah. She's also so proud. So shout out to the mams.
Shout out to the fucking mams.
But that is it. They go into kind of mother bear mode and they just want to make sure you're going to be okay and then they can relax. So the fear is always that. It's never shame or stigma. It's always about they're just afraid for your well-being, basically.
And but you know what? Do you know what's kind of contradictory and all that? Yeah. Or like actually asking your child to hold in a secret is the most damaging thing you can ask your child to do. Mm-hmm. Because I know they do it in a protective way, especially country parents, right? Because they're like, oh, so-and-so down the road will know, because I know many country people. And they're like, don't tell them you're gay, don't tell you're positive.
We'll be getting looks at mass on Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just like, who cares? It's your child. Let them thrive. And the more you feed into the shame and silence, the more damage you're doing to your child.
Because they'll feel that,
And do you know what? After every screening that my mom's there, people normally come up because they want to say, well done, do you want to congratulate us or something? But the queue for my mom is 10 times bigger than my queue.
Yeah,
you know?
Lovely.
And it's all the mammies because they're like, I don't know what I do in that situation. And this is how you do it, you know? So it's she's just great. Like, you know, so for all the mams out there, if you really want to protect your child, just show them support and let them do what they know that they need to do.
And obviously there's going to be an element of fear involved, right? Same way with coming out for ourselves, like parents are worried about your life being tougher.
Yeah.
You living life as a gay man. But it's not down to us to be carrying the burden of their fears. You know what I mean? It's just going to add to it. So it's only going to add to the feeling of being overwhelmed by it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think in general, things have gotten better.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think parenting is probably getting easier in that way.
Yeah.
I feel when I talk about my mom, I have a struggle to talk about it because it's not like my parents handled everything well when I was a teenager or a queer child.
Yeah.
They didn't. But everything they did was just indicative of the society that they were in.
Of course.
And the way that the church felt about gay people and the way the education felt about gay people. And so it's hard. You can't rewrite history. I love my mom. She loves me. She's my whole world. But was it easy for us? Not at all.
Yeah.
And then when you add the HIV in the mix, that also kind of complicates things, because even though when I eventually shared my status with my mom, it was like 10 years after my diagnosis, and she was amazing.
Yeah.
She also acknowledged that if I had told her 10 years before, it might have been different.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because she knew at this stage that the medication was great, that everybody was living, everything was fine. Mm-hmm. It was 10 years before she wasn't as open. We hadn't had a marriage equality referendum. We had a lot of tension around queerness, gayness, religion in our household. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that stuff had dissipated.
Yeah.
So that's part of what goes into creating, I guess, that tension or stigma or problems when I talk about my mom and the past.
I do think as well, it's like the more people learn about it and are educated about it, when the fear goes away, then the tension dissipates. But before then, it is people just kind of get their back up a bit. Like,
completely.
I know my mom, my mom's 70, and she, like, growing up, she would like see those adverts for HIV, and it would scare the bejesus out of her.
Of course it would. I remember, even as growing up a child of the 90s, hearing stuff about AIDS and being petrified of it.
Yeah, and I remember recently, why was I talking to her about it anyway? I don't know, sometimes we have your queer lessons of today, mother, you know. And like I was telling her what a non-binary person was, and she's so open to learning. Like, she's like, tell me about it. And I think one day we started discussing U=U. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Okay, let's get into the science, because that was all the trauma dumping. This is like, this is where we're at, right? Yeah. This is the good part.
Let's hear Mr. Science degree.
Right, let's go. We live in the golden era of HIV in terms of medically, right? We're there. And the reason why we are is because we've great access to different types of treatment here. Yeah. So if one doesn't work for you, just go on to the next, okay? Mm-hmm. But the new treatment's so good, we say it's like taking a Tic Tac, it freshens your breath, very little side effects, right? Yeah. Even from my time, there's lots of side effects. And that was 2012, and now there's none. Okay. There's even a new drug that is one injection in the bum every 2 months rather than a pill every day, you know? So like, medically we're there.
Yeah.
But what the medication does is it stops HIV from replicating, okay? So HIV is in our body trying to attack our immune cells, in particular our T cells, and more in particular our CD4 cells. So it goes into the cell, integrates into our DNA, makes millions of copies of itself, bursts out, and then attacks more CD4 cells, okay? Mm. What happens over time is that... Sorry, I'm getting too scientific.
No,
maybe.
I love it.
I'm engrossed.
You're
a big nerd.
I love it.
I'm a huge nerd.
Great. Okay, yeah. So it integrates into our DNA, and makes millions of copies, bursts out, attacks other CD4 cells. Okay. But then our innate immune system, our B cells, attack HIV. So this internal struggle between HIV and our innate immune system.
The interceptor. Your interceptor.
The dark side of beta. This battle can go on for 3, 5, 10, 15 years. It depends on everyone else. But HIV basically always wins, right? Okay. It always wins because it depletes your immune system to where we can't fight off infections that we normally fight off. And that's when you can develop AIDS, which is acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, which is just an umbrella term for pneumonia age-related dementia, or people probably see in Philadelphia where there's the skin blotches on the skin. Mm-hmm. That's a rare skin cancer called Kaposi sarcoma.
Yeah.
And it's only in people with low immune systems, right?
Great drag name.
It is. Kaposi sarcoma boots.
is that my drag name?
That's
my drag name.
Maybe I'm Kaposi sarcoma, am I?
No,
that's yours.
Okay,
cancer. Okay. So what does the medication do? The medication stops HIV from replicating.
Okay.
So it goes into your DNA, but it doesn't replicate. So it dies. Mm-hmm. But the reason why we have to take medication every day for the rest of our life is to make sure there's enough concentration of the medicines so the virus doesn't replicate and it lies asleep in different parts of our body. So I have HIV asleep in my gut and in my brain. So I take my pill every day, and that means it doesn't attack my immune system, and that's how we can live as long as anyone else. Okay.
Amazing.
Now, let's get on to UGZU. UGZU stands for undetectable equals untransmittable. Mm-hmm. And it means that we just get the virus so low in our body that it's not enough free-flowing virus in our semen or in vaginal fluids to pass it on.
Yeah.
The risk is a zero. So funnily enough, the safest people to have sex with not to get HIV are people who live with HIV, who know their status, who are on treatment, and who are undetectable.
Yeah.
Because it's the people who do not know their status that are passing on HIV.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we encourage every single person to get tested to know your status, because you don't feel symptoms when you have HIV. That's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of time you could have HIV in your system for 5 or 10 years and not know it, and you're passing it on. Mm-hmm. We are doing your body damage the whole time. You may only find out you have HIV when you get AIDS defining illness or complication.
Okay.
So get tested, know your status, start treatment, become undetectable, live as long as anyone else, and you can't pass on HIV. I mean, you can have kids without fear of passing on HIV. So
go on,
stunning.
HIV affects no one.
Love
no
this.
One but me. I say this often. People always ask, like, how does HIV affect your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend Morris of 10 years, so someone did want to touch me and love me again. Ooh, and he's a big ride as well. He's gorgeous.
We love it.
Yeah, he's so nice. basically he's a celiac, right? So he can't eat wheat or barley or anything that's nice in the world.
Ugh.
Like, oh, I haven't gone out for pizza with him in 5 years. Oh, I haven't had a loaf of bread for 5 years. Yeah. Like, his celiac disease impacts my our relationship way more than my HIV ever did. Like, honestly, now I'm not coming for the celiac girlies.
I actually came for them before.
We have a load of celiac girlies listening.
I came for the celiac girls before and I got
ruthless. Our DMs were trolls. Yeah, they were like, it's not my fault I can't eat gluten.
Do you know what's the problem? Everyone says it's easier to have HIV than diabetes, and all the diabetic girlies are like, don't come for us, you know. So like,
we stand with all communities.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally. Stop trying to get us cancelled.
I know. Robbie cancelled right before you.
You actually say just that, what you were saying about if you were to be with someone who knows their status and is undetectable, about it being safer than someone who isn't aware of the status and who hasn't been testing regularly. You actually said it, I think it might have been on the Late Late Show or one of your many other TV appearances.
We were all on the Late Late Show. Here we go.
Robbie, it actually stuck with me when you said that. I remember saying that to so many people because I had never even looked at it like that, about just the idea of knowing and getting tested regularly.
That's so true.
Like the best means of like preventing, really.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It makes it so much easier for us to tell people as well, doesn't it? Because when I met Morris back in 2013, well, whenever 10 years was, we didn't know about you because we were told that we were some risk, like even 4% or something, which is huge actually if you think about it, right? That was the number going around. So when I told him it was different, it's like, we're going to have to wear condoms all the time. There's a potential risk of passing it on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, it's just one extra thing I'm going to learn to love about you, you know?
Yeah.
And then we were actually part of the study that showed conclusively that you could use. So we were actually part of the clinical trial.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he just didn't want to wear condoms anymore. He's like, let's get out. He's like, I'll take the risk.
There we go.
Now we know it's 0, 7 years into relationship, we don't need to, we don't wear condoms. And he just can't get HIV off me. The risk is an absolute zero.
Stunning.
But
and you're just hopping off each other.
Topping who?
And you're just hopping off.
hopping off each other.
I'm not asking if you're top or bottom.
You're right, PJ. Water sports, the lot. Yeah. They do it all round there on the coombe. It's shocking.
Stunning.
You know, I became undetectable by using acupuncture.
Really?
And medication every day.
I need to stop believing everything you say. I think it's because you're my drag mother and you have thrusting eyes. You know what I mean?
I do have thrusting eyes.
That's fucking hilarious.
You can trust me.
Yeah. Do you want to talk to us a bit about how you set up PosVibe? Why did you come up with that idea?
During the lockdowns that were going on horrifically at the start of 2020, I was doing my Witchy Wednesday drag show from my kitchen.
Which is iconic, by the way, if you haven't been to a Witchy Wednesday. Yeah.
Get to a Witchy Wednesday at the George.
Now, I can never really remember it because I'm kind of locked when I'm there.
Perfect.
But the show is always amazing.
A Witchy Wednesday is always an impromptu visit. And when I get there, I have the best night of my life.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of it.
That's what all my hookups say. Sorry, customers. I mean, fans.
Well, you were doing it in your kitchen in lockdown, were you?
Yeah, doing it in the kitchen. Pixie used to live with us. She lived with me for the last 10 years before COVID drove us apart. And occasionally, if the rules would allow, we could get Viola or Chanel to come over.
Gorgeous.
If not, they'd have to do it at home in their house on their camera. And,
brilliant.
But we were doing it. And I was coming off the back of just releasing my HIV coming out song called I Came Out One Night.
Mm-hmm.
So I was singing it occasionally and talking about HIV a bit in the show because I was like this frustrated activist who had just made this big song and dance about coming out about their status, thinking that I would be all over the festivals that summer singing my HIV ballad.
Now streamable on all good music platforms.
Thank you. Yeah. The thing about it is you can stop feeling stigma about living with HIV and still feel stigma about the song you wrote about living with HIV. That's the truth. But anyway, I'm in the kitchen and I'm getting a lot of messages because about like 5,000 people a night were watching that show. Like, you know, we'd put it on Instagram.
You were getting those numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So I knew that I had a big captive audience and I wanted to talk about HIV. So I would bring it up more and more in the show. And I just got messages from people who were living with HIV in or out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Saying how much it meant to them, especially now when I'm at home, you know, with my family or whatever, just have someone talk about it. Or people with other issues going on, just saying that they appreciated me talking about
it.
And I thought, I've got to do something during this time that relates to HIV and use this time wisely to create something. And I had this idea one day where I just put the word positive and podcast together, and I came up with the word podcast.
PR maven.
And once I had the word podcast, I thought, well, it's going to be a podcast. Yeah. Cut to, like, a few days later, Robbie appears on the Tommy Tiernan show on RTE. Yeah. And I love the show, and I work every Saturday night, but I always tape it. So I come home and watch it, you know, stunning. And have a joint at the end of the night. And I'm
brilliant.
There. Like, even Tommy doesn't know who's coming, so I don't know Robbie's coming. And it's Robbie, who I love, and we're already connected, and we're already working on How to Tell a Secret together. But I didn't know he was doing the show. So the next morning, I text him straight away to say congratulations, because, of course, he was amazing, a champion.
Phenomenal.
And I sprung this idea of a podcast on him, and he said, he basically said,
yes, let's do it.
That's exactly what he said. And then he said, let's do it straight away. And so that was it. Like, that was April, was it? Or March?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we had our first episode out at the first week in May. So incredible. It all happened really quickly. And Animatronic from Scissor Sisters is a good friend of mine. And she agreed to be one of our first guests because her father died of AIDS in the 90s.
Okay.
And she is one of the first and few people that I came out to when I was really struggling with it. And she's always had my back, like, wow. Fiercely.
Stunning.
So she agreed to do it. She still does a lot of voiceover stuff for us on the podcast.
Oh, really? That's iconic.
What a great first fucking guest. Hitting the ground running.
Yeah. I followed by Peppermint.
Love that episode.
So basically, I used my little black book to get the ball rolling because we didn't think that there would be enough people living with HIV who would want to. So we pulled all of these tricks and stunts, and we still have many more coming. But since then, we've created this just steady flow of people living with HIV who want to use the platform to come out. And that's a dream come true. That's everything that we could have hoped for.
What you've created is honestly so special. Yeah. And like, what it comes down to as well is like, it's storytelling. I think that's why I enjoy it so much, because we're hearing all these stories and these different life perspectives. And ultimately, like, isn't that what fucking life's about? Just like hearing people's stories.
Yeah, and feeling less alone. People.
And you get a real sense of your guys' empathy in it as well. But there's also the fucking humor in it as well. And if I'm being completely frank, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh my God, is it going to be all doom and gloom if we give it a listen? Like, you're talking about coming out with HIV. And then it's so fucking uplifting what you're creating. And obviously, there's the episodes where you're crying and you're shedding a tear as well, but it's always laced with menacing, like, overtones and giving these ad libs and being fucking hilarious.
You just called Veda a menacing overtone.
That's me.
You're not wrong.
Just say top overtone / femtops rule the world.
We love
right?
it.
No, it's so gorgeous. Honestly,
I feel like you don't even understand how many people you're reaching with it. I feel like you're getting. Do you get so many messages?
Well, I suppose it's like, do you know when you're talking to a mic, you don't know who's listening to
exactly,
you?
Exactly.
Especially, I know he's talking about mental health and just actually, like, I had a crap day today. Like, that's important to hear. Like, as a Patreon, I always listen to you and your truth. So we don't really know the impact, but we always do get messages saying, do you know, I was able to tell my mom, thanks so much, you helped me. Like, we get them quite often. Mm-hmm. But what was really shocking for me was just recently we had a guy called Donuk, and he's lived with HIV 25 years now. And him coming onto the podcast, he told his mom for the first time. Even just the process of coming on, Aoife Commons, who came on, she's a nurse in Galway who recently came out about her status, and she told her whole family, you know, she was going to come on, and her sister who lives in Australia. So it's just the process of being on is so good for the individual person.
Incredible.
So although we don't know, we can't quantify how we help people outside, even though tens of thousands of people listen to the podcast, it's really just more... the people in front of us is changing his life. Yeah. And also, as we know, storytelling is what changes hearts and minds. That's how we get rid of this goddamn stigma that there's no place in society today. So it's just fuck the stigma. We have this army of activists now, thanks to the Pos Vibe, we call them our Pos Vibe tribe, who are willing to stand up.
Pos Vibe tribe.
So now we have this army of activists, because when I was diagnosed in 2012 and Vado was living, it was like an epidemic of silence rather than an epidemic of HIV.
Okay, yeah.
Because we can live as long as anyone else.
Yeah.
We're healthy. Exactly. We can't pass it on.
Mm-hmm. We're going to die of old AIDS.
Honestly, this is what every podcast is. It's me, like 90% of me laughing at everything Aveda says. It's so funny. The whole point of the podcast is we were like, come and join the HIV Kiki, right?
Yeah.
We spilled the tea, which is drag terminology for truth, but we say you spill your trauma. But we have great fun during it.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
That's the whole point of it.
That's stunning.
Yeah, completely.
Agreed. I love it too.
Love.
You're changing lives, honestly, what you're doing.
Yeah, really.
And that's the thing, like, we obviously get messages sometimes from people being like, oh, help us come out, like, and tell my family and stuff I'm gay. I can only imagine the work and, like, the ripple effect that what you're doing is having. And from the people who don't get on to you to tell you, because a lot of people probably won't. They'll just go away and listen, and then they'll go about living their lives, and you don't even know the impact of it, you know, which is fucking
amazing. So, girlies, if you're listening and you want to hear more, you can stream Pos Vibe on all good streaming services.
Everywhere. Go.
Yeah, all the sexy ones.
Also, How to Tell a Secret is out December 1st on Netflix, UK and Ireland, girlies. Please, please give it a watch. It's also, it's like shot really stunningly as well.
It's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film. All credit
also,
to
I'm living for your all white look in the street.
Hot, right?
It's so hot.
I wish I was in Dublin. I wish I was in the streets of Dublin to witness that in the flesh when you were doing it.
And you're wearing the boots in it.
They're the boots.
They're the boots. I'm so sorry. Stretch them out.
No, I love that you have those boots. I'm touched me all of a sudden. I'm like, oh yeah, they're the boots.
Isn't it?
I promise
that's
I look amazing. After
you're
them.
You're walking in my shoes now, girl.
We kind of look alike, no?
Yeah, of course. I think we're gorgeous.
Yeah, we're gorgeous. I'm a menacing figure as well. Yeah. Honestly, thank you so much. Our first pod collab.
Oh my god, girlies.
Are we doing the fingers? Love it.
So honored.
I know, look at us. And you're the plan.
Usually PJ is the one with the nails.
Usually I'm letting the side down. We need to sign off the way we always do. You just need to say bye 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 bye. Bye girlies.
Bye girlies.
Bye. Bye 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 bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.